TNR, TNR, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Toucher and Rich.
Five to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. I am back today, much to the displeasure, I'm sure, of a large portion of the audience. But I am back. I was on a Disney cruise, as my children are 9 and 7, and this pretty much seems the cap of it. I don't see doing this again. They get a lot of listeners on the boat, all very respectful, all very nice, not making anything's uncomfortable. And to get out, if you leave for vacation on a winter break, strangely enough, for some reason I can't understand, the prices of tickets get to an insane level.
Yeah, yeah. There's about 3 weeks during the winter that just stay home.
I think I would be. I'm not so cynical to think that they're gouging you. But
no, they're gouging you.
But they are.
Yeah.
So in order to get to Orlando. So the idea is we're going to go to Orlando. We're going to leave Saturday. The boat leaves Sunday. And the idea is we're going to get to Orlando. We're going to go to Winter Park, where I went to college, hang out there, go to some of the old places, get a good night's sleep, head out to the boat.
Did you get to see Brandon Merriweather?
No. I'll tell you why I didn't get to see Brandon Merriweather.
Okay. I just remembered that.
No, I didn't get to see Brandon Merriweather unless he chose to stay up for 3 days.
Okay.
So we're scheduled to leave, I believe, at 11:15 in the morning. So we get up, we leave at 9 in the morning, we get to the airport, and we see our flight's been delayed an hour and 16 minutes, which is bad because we had a half-hour layover in Philadelphia before that flight was supposed to take off.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So we talk to the people, and they say, we can get you out at 6-something at night. So we say, fantastic. It could have been worse. A lot of times that they tell you they can't fly out at all.
Mm-hmm, and you're screwed.
And you're catching a cruise the next day, and that could have ruined everything. So, you do what you got to do. You sit around the Philadelphia airport. You got to, you're with kids, and they got to be occupied and all these things. So, finally, we get on the plane. It's about 6:15 at night, and we get on the plane, and it's one of those three rows planes. It's one of those big daddies,
mm-hmm.
And it's got a screen on the seat. So you say to yourself, and the screen is featuring this gentleman, probably about mid-40s. They went through the central casting, supposed to be reassuring. He's behind you,
mm-hmm.
If you want to look at him.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that you can watch movies and television shows and this and that. So they say, I'm comfortable with what I have as entertainment. I'm not going to watch him. So we sit at the gate for about an hour. Then they go, we got to de-ice the plane. So we back up about 10 feet. Another hour.
Mm.
So now I've been, between the time I got to Philadelphia and the time I'm on the plane now, with 7 hours. I'm looking at this guy, and I'm starting to hate him. He's the guy right in front of me.
And his face is just constantly on the screen.
It's just constantly on the screen. My kids had already watched a movie and a television show.
Okay.
We move. The plane sits there for another hour.
Jeez.
Now we're on the plane for 3 hours. Then another hour goes by. Now this a-hole who's on the screen is just mocking me. And I'm wondering how this guy, if he goes out and someone who's irrational just starts berating him, the minute that they see him.
And by someone who's irrational, do you mean you?
It's just like the face of Satan, just sitting there looking at you and mocking you.
Yeah.
Just this face of Satan of each moment that goes by.
Yeah.
He's just sitting there, and I'm refusing to watch their in-flight entertainment because he's. I hate him so much. He's the representative of everything that's wrong in the world. So then they de-ice the plane. How many hours am I at now?
It's three on the plane so far.
Okay, so then they de-ice the plane. That takes an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Then we taxi around for another hour. So we've been on the plane for 5 hours.
Before you've even taken off.
Before we've taken off.
Okay, so, do they cut off the air? Because sometimes they do that. They have to, for some reason, it was been explained to me before, because I've been stuck on the tarmac before, is that they have to turn the air off for some weird reason.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, you'd know if they did.
I was staring at this guy in the eyes, and I was just planning on all the things that I just wanted to say to him.
Jeez.
If I ever saw him, he's a very slight shouldered. He's got a stupid grin on his face. Jeez. Like, he's so happy to be there. I hope you enjoyed your $10 to pose there. You know, now everyone hates you. Now the plane's booing. Like, whenever they make an announcement, myself included. I'm starting to boo whenever they make an announcement. We finally take off 5 hours later. So 10 hours from the time I got to Philadelphia to the time we took off.
Jeez, man.
I'm in Philadelphia. The flight's 2.5 hours. Get in a cab at 1 something in the morning. Get into our hotel at 2 in the morning. And by the way, a hotel that I paid good money for because the idea was it was going to be by my college. I get up. The kids get me up. So I get to bed at 2:30. The kids get me up at 7:30. This guy's face still just locked in my mind with his smug look, knowing that that he controls everything. I go, I take my kids around the college campus. They complain the whole time. Then we get finally to the boat. I have about 2 drinks. I fall asleep at 4 in the afternoon. I fall asleep completely through dinner, and I wake up. And it's 4 in the morning, and the boat's rocking like crazy. It was hell. It was absolute. That day was hell. The Monday that we were on that boat is one of the worst days in terms of me being uncomfortable in my life because there was no time to get used to anything. I slept. I had gotten 3 hours of sleep, so I like stood around for as long as I could.
Yeah, yeah.
I laid down in the bed for a second at 4 o'clock, and I woke up, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and the boat's moving, and I got nowhere to go, so I feel like I'm going to vomit the entire day. And then I know we're at 2 days at sea, so I become completely paranoid that if something happens to me physically, there's no way to get me off the boat because we're going all the way to St. Martin, and we're like, you know, we're like 200 miles off the coast of anywhere.
Yeah.
And so now my whole fear during this time is that I'm going to be so ill. The motion of the boat is going to be make me so ill and dizzy that I'm going to be in this kind of hell and that there's going to be no way to get me off the boat. That for 24 hours, over 24 hours, I'm going to be trapped on a boat ill with no way to get off of it. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, I got in like the pool to see if like the, it'd be like a womb and that that would help and nothing's helping. And by, you know what, my wife's working out and the kids are in the kids' room having the time of their lives.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there in agony thinking like laying down. I laid down in the room for a while and Miracle was on and I was trying to become inspired by it. I'm like, if this is literally a conversation in my head. If these guys can win the gold medal, this bunch of ragtag crew, I can get through this day. And so I'm like, maybe I can drink and it will make the day go by faster. It was one of those days you've had it too, where alcohol has absolutely no effect on you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like my brain was so in a state of panic.
Yep.
That I could have drank 17 bottles of Jack Daniels and would have done me no good.
And you panic even more that the alcohol isn't working.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. It just ratchets the intensity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was living hell. So why travel? Like, it's really like, why travel? So this cruise, it's 7 days. I spent 2 days in hell, so that leaves 6 days. It was supposed to be an 8-day vacation, and it's a 6-day vacation. And the next day, I feel a lot better, but there's still that tinge of
It could come back any moment,
This could come back at any moment.
Right. How long until you figured out you could put that stuff behind your ears?
My mom gave it to me, like, that night.
Okay, all right.
And
that helped pretty quick?
It didn't. The boat didn't bother me again. But this is not, like, a huge cruise boat. This thing was knocking around like crazy.
Oh, jeez.
But then I just wonder why we do it, why we fly. It doesn't. I have friends who fly for business all the time, and it never happens to them.
To get the hell out of this icy, horrible world
that
we live in.
But none of it was weather related. Like, none of it was weather related. It was all. And then then you get on the boat, and everyone's so happy that it's Disney. And then I realized quickly my kids don't care that it's Disney. I could have done anything. We could have gone anywhere, and they wouldn't have cared. Hey, guys, look, it's Minnie Mouse. Yeah. They just wave their hands and they go, well, there's a kids club, which they like, but I could have gotten a kids club anywhere.
Sure.
Yeah, I could have gone, hey, here's a sandbox, the kids club.
I say that it was icy hell, but actually the week you were gone was very pleasant.
Of course it was.
It was wonderful, actually.
I think
Wednesday was 70.
Yeah. 70 at one point.
Because, you know, if you want to ensure good weather,
go out of town. Just,
when I go out of town, good weather follows. That's exactly what happens.
People were in shorts at Boston Common.
I'm sure they were.
There was a wonderful smell of pot in the air. It was just like summer.
I'm sure they were having the time of their lives. I'm sure that when I was in total agony on that boat, that everyone couldn't have been more happy. That they were bopping around town like nobody's business. Yeah. Birds were singing in the air.
It was gorgeous.
People were dancing. Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Did I send you the video when you're... I think it would have been mean for you to do this, but I don't know if I might have done it. The video of that big all-out brawl that happened on a cruise ship while you were gone, where they had to arrest a bunch of people.
But that's Carnival. So. Yeah. You get what you pay for.
For sure.
Rob, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, how are you? I just went on a cruise. It was the best vacation of my life. So I don't know why you complained so much.
Well, how long did it take you to get in there?
Well, we went out of Miami, you know.
So you got nothing. Everything went your way. You won. You got down to Miami like a normal person, then you got on a boat. You didn't spend, 17, 18 hours traveling, 20 hours traveling. And then having to turn around and fall asleep and then wake up in a nightmare.
Yeah, if I ever have to connect, I'm one of those people who, like, now that I have kids, I'll pay a little bit extra to go direct, but sometimes it's a lot extra.
Stay away from Philadelphia.
So I won't do it. Like, well, if it's a ridiculous amount sometimes to not do it, so when I do lay over, I'll choose a one that's at least an hour. Like, I've lost too many connections before.
You don't have that option sometimes.
No, you're right. You're right, you don't. And when I do, I'd rather have like a 2 hour layover than a 45 minute one.
So would I. But, you know, so, I mean, especially that break, those tickets are like $2,000.
True.
If you go to correct.
There's like 3 weeks during the winter where it's you just don't travel.
No, you should never travel.
Ever? Never.
No.
Okay.
Stupid guy staring at me on that dumb airplane.
May all your vacations be to Weir's Beach.
Perfect.
Go to Fun Spot.
Okay.
All your vacations should be there.
Yeah, let's see a step on a needle. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer Esiason, brought to you by Cambridge Savings Bank. Boomer says the Olympics might be over, but the biggest loser ultimately will be the host country, South Korea.
Toucher and Rich.
Wake up.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Was Boston top of the list?
Yes. When they first asked me, I would obviously go, you know, wherever. I wasn't going to hold them hostage or anything like that. You know, I wanted to go to a place that wanted me and a place that had a great chance to win. And, you know, I think Boston fits both those perfectly.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. The Boston Bruins, as you've heard by now, have traded for Rick Nash, 33 years old. He's going to play next to Krejci, they're saying, on the second line. A line that was a defensive liability at times. So we have Fluto Shinzawa, of course, covers the Bruins from the Boston Globe. Hello, Fluto.
Good morning, Fred. Good morning, Rich.
Hey.
We appreciate you coming on. First of all, how do you grade this trade?
Obviously, a very high price, just given that it's a first-round pick. And a very good prospect in Ryan Lindgren. Those are the two major pieces. And then you throw in Spooner and Bolesky, which are kind of side pieces. High price. No team wants to give up that. But here's Don Sweeney thinking, I've got to give my team the best chance of going for the cup. This does it. Nash is certainly seen his best days. 33 years old, last year of his deal, but you look at what he can still bring in short pockets, maybe the 14 to 16 minute bursts, is still very good in terms of size, speed, acceleration, skill, just really soft hands around the net and in those tight areas. And ultimately, I think he brings together an entire line. As you mentioned, DeBrusk and Spooner just weren't trusted along with Krejci in those hard situations. So who would pay the price? Krejci. And his ice time is the second lowest it's been his whole career. That's partly on him. Perhaps he has more to give, but that's mostly because the coach didn't trust those other guys. So with Nash, there's no real concern there. He's a 200-foot player, gets lots of time on the penalty kill for the Rangers, so he'll be trusted there. He can play the power play. So it's not just one guy. You get Krejci back in the game this way. So you have two good lines. And if that's not working, you throw Krejci down, Pastrnak back with Krejci, and put Nash up with Bergeron and Marchand. So it just gives the coach a lot more options, more depth. An entire second line is back. So one of those deals that's good for both sides, for sure.
How much of Nash's production was hampered by the fact that his team around him is just not any good this year?
Yeah, you can't expect. He wasn't brought in to be a first-line player. Second line, I think he can do that. But you look at the cast that he had around him, Zuccarello, Zibanejad, and then that's it. Kreider was hurt. He had his health scare. And now that team is being sold off piece by piece, and for good reason. They need to restock and rebuild and do it a lot of the way the Bruins have done in terms of rebuilding by the draft and develop model. This is why the Bruins have ultimately been able to get into this kind of trade magnitude, is because of the pieces they have. They have younger, cheaper players that can take Spooner's spot. You have other prospects besides Lindgren on the left side. So they've done a great job in terms of accelerating the rebuild via drafting and developing. And ultimately, that's why they can make a trade like this.
Was Lindgren going to play in the NHL?
I mean, yes.
Okay,
yes.
So because they have a redundancy, it seems, with young defensemen, but you think Lindgren would play in the NHL, and where did you kind of pencil him in terms of pairings?
The way he was playing, probably your second pair left side guy, 5-on-5 PK. That's why he's a big piece, because ultimately you're not going to have Zdeno around. Maybe he defies it and stays around for a couple more years, but Ryan was the type of mean left side defense for a shutdown guy who could take some of those shifts. So that's a big price to pay. Some of the other defensemen that they have in the system on the left side are more offensive, more up-tempo, more free-flowing players. So there's an asset there in terms of the way they play. But, yeah, that's a big piece to give up, a guy that can be that probable second-pair guy. And they also gave up to the same team, Rabiot Guerra, another left-side defenseman. So there are pieces out the door that could have been playing in Lindgren's case, could have been playing a big role for the Bruins.
Fluto, what is your take on what most of the New York media feels about Nash, and that he doesn't come through when it matters most? He was paid to be the guy and wasn't the guy while he was with the Rangers, sure, and never came up big in the playoffs.
Yeah, we've seen it. We saw it a little bit when the Bruins and Rangers played in the playoffs. Okay, well, where is Nash? So, yes, That's a concern, that it's not just in the playoffs. We've seen it in the regular season, that there's an inconsistency there. I don't really buy into the fact that some players, especially of his magnitude, he's played big time games, he's played Olympics. This is a former number one pick. I think that speaks more to the team around him, that they needed him to be the guy, and it's just maybe it wasn't there to be that shift in, shift out number one right wing for that particular team. But again, he doesn't have to do that here. That the heavy lifting is Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak, and then you follow it up with that second wave, and he's got to be part of that second wave. So yes, we've seen the play go up and down. There's been peaks and valleys to his game, but in that 12, 14, 16 minute segment, perhaps those get reduced, and he's not playing as big a role, and they're not asking him to be the guy. So perhaps in that situation, you can see a little bit more consistency to Rick's game.
Fleur, do you think they're done? You think anything else will be done before 3 o'clock?
They've done a lot of heavy lifting. Holden, I like the Holden deal just because you needed somebody, a bigger guy on the left side. We saw what happens with the injuries last year in the playoffs to defensemen. You recoup one of those picks by sending Vetrano out. I think they're done. Maybe there's a depth move. Maybe they're thinking that Ryan Donato, who's one of their big-time prospects, jumps on board. That's also a big ask in terms of asking a college guy to step right into a playoff race. Maybe that's one of the things that they're anticipating, but I think this is it for them.
Oh, what about Gianta? What did you think about that deal, seeing that he hasn't played all year? Is he going to see the ice this year, do you think?
It's a good thing if he doesn't play. That means that they're healthy, that everything is okay. Achari's had his health issues. He's been in and out with injuries. So that's insurance. Experienced guy, right wing, right shot. Maybe he slots in for the fourth line with Schaller and Corrali if Achari can't make it. But in their best case scenario, he never sees the ice. And he's around in the room, good guy, leader, all that. But no, they're hoping he doesn't play.
Fluto, finally, do you think this makes the Bruins the favorite in the East?
No question. Puts them right in the conversation. Let's wait and see before three if Tampa does anything big. If Carlson gets on the move and they can get him from Ottawa, then you're thinking, whoa, that's tough. But yeah, sure, of course. Well, why not? Of course, you always have to look at Pittsburgh and following their deal with Brassard. That makes them three deep at center as usual, and you can't discount what they've done over the past couple of years. Washington, I think, is always a tough out, but certainly they're in that handful, the Tampa. Toronto a little bit. I think they're better than Toronto. So Tampa, Boston, Pittsburgh, Washington. Yeah, I think that's your top four right now.
All right, Fleur Schinzauer from the Boston Globe. We always appreciate the time.
My pleasure, gentlemen.
Nice all evening. Right, there you go. Fleur Schinzauer. Well, guess who's back? It's Kurt Schilling.
I saw this weekend, and I'm like, man, I mean, just when you think that he's just gotten as bad as it gets, it just gets worse. And then the way he tries to defend himself is just meme after meme after idiotic statement. I knew you were going to see it, so I didn't even send it to you.
Oh, no, I saw it. Yeah, because you knew he was going to be doing it. I mean, he is so dumb. It should
really
be.
Is,
I mean, he is just one of the dumbest people that you'll ever see have a platform like this. Because you can have people that you think are crazy, and they have crazy ideas, but at least they're trying. At least they can form sentences and kind of tell you their crazy ideas, and then you can go tell them to go screw. Schilling is just such an idiot. But we'll get into what he said, and using the Twitter, that's always such a great tool for him to use. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 7:50 for your chance to score a 4-pack of tickets to see the Harpoons, or tickets to the Harpoons St. Patrick's Day Festival, Friday, March 9th, under the heated tents at the brewery. For tickets, visit harpoonbrewery.com. Love beer, love life, Harpoon. The last time we've talked to Kurt Schilling, he was applauding himself and patting himself on the back for his hurricane relief efforts that broke down in Tennessee, at least one of them, and bragging that he actually finally refunded the people for their tractor trailer after it sat there for several months being unused.
We had the tractor trailer owner called us.
Yes.
And he was like, hey, listen, this was my trailer that I let Kurt Schilling use, and it's been stuck in this parking lot for the last like 3-4 months, and we have got no recourse on this. He's not fixed it. He said we need to go do it ourselves. and I've needed this thing for work. And he basically called to complain. And finally, it was after that, and this guy contacting the news as well, that Kurt Schilling finally was like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, I'll see if we can fix this. And he paid the guy to go down there and get his own trailer.
Right, so, which the guy needed for work.
Right, and the trailer was filled with supplies that people had trusted him with money. First of all, if you trusted Kurt Schilling with money for supplies, I mean, it's kind of your own thing.
Yeah, because of his great business success and the way he's handled his own money and the way that he's been able to further his career and everything that he's wanted to do.
Sure. I mean, the track record in Rhode Island speaks for itself.
Well, the one time we watched his Breitbart show on that he does out of his basement or wherever, he picked his nose and ate it, which was pretty much what you would expect. He's like the kid from Caddyshack.
Right, they're taking bets.
They're taking bets if he's going to do it again.
That might be a fun game. Watch one of his videos and see how long until he picks his nose and eats it.
Well, I'll tell you this. And then there was other media people that were like going to sick Schilling on me. Like, ooh, I don't want him. I don't want to get in a battle of wits with him. That Schilling, he's, oh boy, don't cross him. He's really popular. And the people that love him, I really want them tuning in every day. So, yeah, I mean, Schilling is just so dumb, and he buys into everything, he sits on that stupid Twitter.
You send him something that supports his argument, even if it's completely 1,000,000% wrong, obviously fake, he'll retweet it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he does it in, like, meme form,
because
he can't even get the thoughts together himself. His big thing, and everything that's gotten him in trouble is memes.
Yeah, yep.
Mm-hmm. Is that, and he just, because he can't coherently put together a sentence.
But then there's being an idiot.
Like what he did when he was trying to single-handedly rescue the people of Houston.
Right.
And pat himself on the back.
Yeah.
That he got a tractor trailer down there with like a, it looked like a case of water and some dog crates.
Yeah, two of them broke down. Two trailers. Oh, so he didn't even know how to pack them right.
No, they broke down due to the weight.
Right, so he didn't know. Obviously, he had no real plan going down there. So there's being stupid.
And by the way, though, and then his big defense against the Red Cross, or at least his supporters, was the overhead of the Red Cross. Just how much of the money they were using.
Well, you know, at least they didn't leave a trailer on the side of the road.
Well,
for
no, so you just give it to some guy.
Sure, just give it to a dude. But then there's stuff that, really, this weekend, it's borderline evil. And that is, there is, on the news lately, you've seen a 17-year-old named David Hogg. Now, he was one of the survivors of the shooting in Parkland, Stoneman Douglas High School.
And this is freaking everyone out, because these students, much to their, much to talk about how intelligent and on it they are, these students are demanding a debate, they're demanding action, they're protesting, they are getting to the Republicans. And I'll give Marco Rubio a ton of credit for standing up and taking the questions.
That's his job, by the way. No credit for him, but I will take credit away from the guys who didn't show up.
No, I think Rubio deserves credit because it is his job, but there's people that don't speak openly. There's people that use Twitter. I give Rubio all the credit in the world to stand up there and take it. He didn't have to do a town hall. He didn't have to talk to those kids directly. I give Rubio a ton of credit.
I think he did.
A
situation like that happens, that's your job.
All right, well,
they elected you, that's your job.
Fair enough. I think we're splitting hairs. Maybe that is your job. I don't know how many other people would have done that.
Well, that I will take away from Rick Scott and things like the governor.
All right,
not saying
all right, fair enough. But I give Rubio a little credit.
But so you had this kid, David Hogg, who's been one of the main people. It's like him and Emma. You've heard them speaking a lot about what's been going on and them being for more gun control and background checks. And then you have these people that seem to come out of the woodwork whenever there is a shooting who try to discredit the survivors. This happened, unfortunately, in Newtown, where people came out and said that there were actors, they weren't really victims. And that's what happened with this boy, David Hogg. And many are saying is because his father was is a member of the FBI.
Retired FBI.
Retired FBI, that he was coached up on talking points and things like. To me, I'm like, okay, who cares? What does it matter? If this is the point he's trying to make, and who cares if his father was an FBI agent? But on top of that, they're saying that he was an actor. That this kid isn't real, and he was not really a student.
Not only that,
his classmates die right in front of him.
And he, of course, has been the target of most of this. But there is a theory floating around that they bring in crisis actors, as you said.
Oh yeah.
So like immediately after something like a school shooting, they'll bring in people who are fake students to sit there and push an agenda of an anti-gun you know, an anti-gun group. They sit there and they push the agenda of the anti-gun group. They fly in or drive in people specifically to make an argument, a false argument about gun control.
So Kurt Schilling on Saturday, I believe this was, retweeted a tweet that somebody had sent to him and put anyone, and here was the tweet. The tweet was a picture. It was a guy who has a photograph of what looks like a yearbook of this of David Hogg, the kid that we're talking about. And it says, David Hogg didn't attend Parkland High School. I went to school with him at Redondo Shores High School in California, and he graduated in 2015. Here is our yearbook from 2015. He always wanted to work for CNN and be an actor. Hashtag gun reform now. Hashtag never again. Okay.
Well, did he want to work for CNN or do you want to be an actor?
Well, either way.
Or do you want to be like the chick that was in Wall Street and do both?
So without doing any kind of research or anything, Kurt Schilling retweets it going, anyone? And you know what the best part about that whole thing is that if you look up one little picture above David Hogg's in the annual, one of the guys is wearing a Stoneman Douglas High School t-shirt.
It's a plant. It was photoshopped.
Like, literally, you could look up and see if this is indeed a page from this annual. Why is someone from Redondo Beach in California wearing a t-shirt from Stoneman Douglas High School, directly by... You are the dumbest human being on the planet, Kurt Schilling.
If they were bringing in people that didn't go to the school, don't you think people that went to the school would go, they didn't go to our school?
Right. Everyone was saying, no. What are you doing interviewing this guy? We don't know him.
Yeah, he wasn't there. And wouldn't the student body be BS that someone that wasn't there was capitalizing on something that they had, a very painful thing that they had to go through? It makes absolutely no sense. Do you know how they'd be vetted right away? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have this is a school, obviously, with a lot of intelligent kids. You don't think that right away, because that if someone was taking advantage of this situation to promote some agenda that wasn't there, wouldn't that offend everyone that was there and
yes.
the parents and the community if
yes.
everyone was there? And like, it's this desperation that preys on the dumbest people. That just Schilling puts no thought into these things. My God, is he dumb? Who's he following? That's who that put that out.
It was
first of all,
just some guy sent it to him.
And so anyone?
I don't know.
Do you know how to? He's in there like Zoolander. The keyboard. He doesn't know how to use it. Big dummy. He gets all his information, this stupid idiot, by either playing video games and then peeing all the money away, or then by sitting on the internet and reading nice memes that have cool pictures on them.
Can you imagine being this kid and being in a school and your friends are murdered right next to you and you've got this jackass saying that you're not really who you say you are? What an a-hole. What's like borderline evil? How do you not have that thing inside of you that when it's a 17-year-old kid who is involved with mass murder all around him to think, you know what, before I go with this, maybe I do a little bit of background check instead of having CyberBob 84 NRA rules make America great again at 14 sending me something saying, hey, you know what, I think this is what happened, and retweeting it and giving it credit.
How quickly after the shootings did Hogg speak? Because it seems like it was almost like it was.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
It was like that day.
It was either that day or the day after. But
all
you're right.
Fine. So they mobilized kids that to pretend that they went to that high school and mobilized them to speak to the media because anti-NRA people. That's exactly what they did. Do you know how ludicrous that is? That how the hell could you possibly believe that? Robert, go ahead.
Hey, guys, the easiest way to ruin your day after any of these school shootings is to just look up on the internet false flags. There's entire movements of it, like Newtown actors that, like, mothers from every single school shooting. They'll have, like, Photoshop screenshots from every single one of these. It's the easiest way to ruin your day, and it's one of the most despicable things you can ever see.
Yeah, Kurt went beyond being, like, an idiot this weekend. He turned into evil territory. Like, that's just evil. To take a 17-year-old kid and start calling him, who had his friends murdered next to him, and start calling him a liar.
And by the way, who was in that school was going to be, this is great. Like is he speak, is, did they fly him down there because they had no one else that was upset with the whole issue? I mean, you just saw a school shooting, and we've seen from inside how, I mean, you can conceptualize it, but you also seen people with the videos that they took and the whole way these scenes go down. And you think they're going to have trouble finding kids to speak out against this?
Oh, and guess who's pro? Let's give guns to all the teachers in there and let them shoot, bang them up.
Yeah, well.
I mean, this is, and it was one of those things. That, Kurt, you're never going to get in the Hall of Fame. Never. Like, you know, I don't care what you've done. It's now gotten to the point where how can anyone, even for baseball reasons, have a clean conscience and writing your name down and give you any kind of reward of anything, in any way, shape, or form after you do crap like this? Someone like that. If you do anything nice for the guy, it's dirty for the soul. I mean, honestly, it was the first time this weekend where it went past like him being a clown and just being a bad person.
What? And again, he cannot articulate his point nor do any research, so he uses a meme, which is gets him in trouble.
I know.
Boy, is he dumb.
It's interesting, too, because the entire time he was here, he would criticize the media for not getting things right and jumping to conclusions.
Right, because...
And here we are.
Because at the time, you know, all he cared about was throwing his ball.
10 years out, look what happened.
Yeah. Now he's Captain Meme. Idiot.
Our friend Dick Donahue, who's obviously been through some tough stuff before, he said, you know, being an adult target of crisis actor claims, I can laugh about it. So, I guess people thought Dick Donahue, we all know what he went through, was an actor. Maniacs. And then he said, but kids? Come on. Also, if someone retweets that stuff, they're an idiot as well.
You know, someone retweets it, especially someone who's high profile and masks themselves as a political expert.
Dick, who thought you were an actor?
I'm sure a lot of people did.
I mean, that's
chilling, probably.
I'm sure a lot of people thought that Dick was an actor. Probably chilling, yeah.
Jeez, man.
Well, you know, thoughts and prayers, everybody.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know,
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And we will get to more news, more opinion on the signing of Nash. Not the signing, the trade, what the Bruins gave up. Again, I don't have a problem with anything that they gave up. But we'll see how Rick Nash performs in the playoffs.
I just love the fact that the Bruins apparently think that this team's good enough to win it all. That they're going to go all in this year. Let's get Rick Nash in here and let's go for it.
I mean, they're a top five team just by eyeballing it.
Yep.
Just by looking at the standings, they're a top five team. And if Rask stays hot, then they have an excellent chance of at least going to the Eastern Conference Final, so that Tampa Bay thing continues to bother
them. But again, they have so much young talent, and you got to hand it to Sweeney, but maybe he whiffed on this one, but I don't know who else he was going to go out and get.
Yeah. I know.
Because if he got, what's his phrase from New York?
McDonough. Ryan McDonough, who should be dealt today. The problem is, does he go to Tampa? But yes. McDonough would have cost you much more than you just gave up.
If you make that move for McDonough, I don't, because it goes counter to everything that you've done to get this successful thus far.
We're going to have Haggerty in studio at 9 o'clock, and he seems to be very high on Nash in the playoffs. Like, I mean, he thinks that he gets a bad rap, and I know that it was funny. I read a bunch of articles on this, and there's, I think it's Joe McDonald, who's with the Boston Sports Journal. Was that the name of?
Yep.
Bedard's thing, and he got a bunch of quotes from anonymous GMs and coaches around the league, and the one word that came up a couple times was engaged. Is that if Rick Nash can stay engaged, then he's going to be a great player. That seems to be the biggest knock on him, the way he just has these lulls in play, and they say it's because he's not 100%. It's a contract year. You got to think it's a contract year. You're with a good team with good chemistry. Of all the situations to be in, wouldn't you think this would be the one in which you would stay the most engaged?
He's got one more multi-year contract left in him. He's 33 years old. This is it. I mean, this is his chance, because if he played out the string with the Rangers, he wouldn't get anything. He had a horrible year with New York, but as Fluta Shinzawa just told us, people around him, I mean, the whole situation around him was awful. The Rangers are one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference this year. So here's your chance. You're playing with a team that's going places. If you score and you play well in the playoffs, you're going to get that last 2 or 3 year contract for bigger money.
And we'll see how fast that line can play. That's another thing that I got to think about. Is this a line that's going to be real heavy? And that's not, you know, the way the NHL is going, but we'll see. We shall see. All right, there'll be no commercials here, just the headlines. I heard Bird did something.
You missed something while you were gone. Yeah.